If you don't have the cash flow, you don't have the money to add the value. If you can renovate the units, you can add value. If you can't add value and at the same time you have the debt come due, then you find yourself in the worst position that you can put yourself.
Welcome to the Real Estate Monopoly Podcast. My name is Kerwin Donis. My brothers and I got into real estate investing to achieve financial freedom and help underserved communities in Guatemala, where our mom is from. Real estate is the vehicle we're taking to achieve our goals, and you can too. On this show, we share the stories of some of the most successful real estate investors to show you that you can succeed in real estate just like they have. Each episode, we deliver inspiring and educational content that will empower you to launch your real estate investing career and achieve your financial goals. Let's go. Lenin Lee was born in Venezuela. Lenin wasn't happy in his previous career, and as he began to focus on managing his family's real estate portfolio, he started looking for passive investment options. Although he didn't know it at the time, this led him to exploring other options and eventually learning about apartment syndications.
I'm originally from Venezuela, moved to the United States in 2010 after graduating from the university for telecommunications engineering. Came to Miami. I live in Miami. Came here in 2010 to get a master's, also in engineering management. Worked on that field for a couple of years. Hated it. My boss didn't like me very much either. It wasn't really working. So at that point, before I moved here, like a year before I moved, I came with my family and we bought a portfolio of properties, specifically condos here in Miami. And when I moved here in 2010, then I started managing the portfolio for the family and taking care of, well, I was doing property management basically all around while I was working. Then I decided to quit my job, decided to venture into different things. I bought a 18-wheeler and got into the trucking business for like a year. It wasn't scalable for me anyway. Wasn't bad. It was successful, but didn't enjoy it. Ultimately, I was still doing real estate at the time. Taking care of the properties that we had. And at that point, my family, mom, dad, my sister, they had moved to Panama. And all that portfolio that we had, we bought it cash. So we had all that equity sitting there. The return on equity wasn't attractive anymore. And it was taking a lot of my time. So we started looking for passive investment opportunities. We knew we wanted to stay in real estate, but we wanted to have that money generate better cash flow. And eventually I started, I got my license. I did the realtor job for like a year or two, year and a half maybe. And also didn't like it. Didn't like the conversation of just selling homes to people that are, sentimentally making their decisions, which is all good, but it wasn't my thing. That took me to exploring other options in real estate. Then I found commercial real estate. Then I found that multifamily real estate was where we wanted to or made a lot of sense for us, for my family. And then we heard about, investing passively and being like syndications and what is that? So a whole lot of education, preparation, and until we pulled the trigger, started selling the properties that we had and started deploying that capital into passive investments in commercial real estate. I thought, well, I like what these guys are doing. I was investing with this company. I like what they were doing. And I figured, well, I want to be on that side of things, on the active side and managing things and raising capital and all that. So again, I started my education on that side and ultimately started partnering up with them, partnering up with different people, learning, growing. And at this point, we've invested in around 10 different syndications as passive investors. And we are general partners on probably like 8 different projects. 2,000 plus units we've been part of. We've gone full cycle on 4 deals, almost 5 next month. And Yeah, man. Now we have this new company called Passivo with my partner, and we're just focused on providing investors the opportunity to, you know, build wealth and protect their capital before anything else, and generate cash flow, and just ideally become better passive investors and achieve financial freedom.
Lennon started out as a passive investor in the multifamily space. As a passive investor, he was able to learn the ins and outs of a syndication. This enabled him to eventually make the transition onto the active side of multifamily real estate.
It, just the fact that it was actually passive investing, right? When you buy a property and you own it, and then you do the management and everything, if it's one property and you're lucky, you got a good tenant, then yeah, it's almost passive. But if you start growing the portfolio, then even if you have all good tenants, then you need to start, if you want to do it right, and if you want to maximize your profit, and if you want to be like a true investor in real estate, then you need to understand that there's the property management side, but as your portfolio grows, there's a lot of asset management, right? Like, so big picture strategy, how to position yourself, how to, it's not just buy whatever property and rent it. How can I maximize my portfolio and my profits and generate better cash flow and add value to the portfolio however you can. So all those, you know, and tax strategies and cost segregation studies, whatever it is, you need to start thinking that way, again, if you want to do it right or like a professional. So my point is that it is a lot of work. It is a lot of work. So that wasn't what we wanted to do at the time. I mean, when I say we, that's my family. Then I personally decided that, yes, I want to be on the active side on commercial real estate, but I want to be on the active side. But for my family, it was like, we don't want to be active. Like, we just want to, first of all, I always talk about this. My mom told me, hey, listen, you know, obviously you're taking care of the portfolio. You do what you need to do. Obviously, we trust you with all of our capital, but just don't lose my money, okay? So just do whatever you want. Don't lose my money. So that meant a lot. That stuck with me. And moving forward into the different investments that we were looking for, we started looking for a vehicle that, yes, it allowed us to be 100% passive and something that generates cash flow, but before we talk about cash flow and growth, how are we acquiring this deal? How are the structures? What's the legal ramifications? Everything so that the money is as safe as possible. There's no guarantee. Obviously, yes, the money can be lost, but it's very, very hard to lose money the way we're investing. That's the way we look at it.
Lennon ended up building a strong relationship with the general partnership team he passively invested with. Lennon leveraged this relationship, and by leading with value, he was able to get into his first apartment syndication deal as a general partner.
The first one was 240 something units in Dallas, Texas, about 4 years ago, maybe 4.5 years ago. Anyway, that deal, I partnered up with a group out of New York that's actually the group that I invested with on my first deal as a limited partner. And, you know, they provided the opportunity, like they had this deal, they wanted to, you know, they had to raise a lot of capital for that deal. It was like for them at the time, it was like a big deal. So, you know, they looked for partners. I was there. I took advantage of the opportunity to learn, and, I had already talked to some of my friends and family. So I knew I could raise a little bit of capital. And you know, I knew I was good with marketing and design and, you know, a few things here and there that would allow me to be bring real value to the general partners of the deal and the lead sponsors. So anyway, they took me in, and ultimately I went out and started offering this opportunity to some of my potential investors at the time. Ups and downs, man. Yeah. I mean, definitely ups. At the end of the day, we closed on the deal. It was very successful. That was the first deal. That was the first time that I got an investor to trust me with their hard-earned money. And, that was, you know, I was very, aside from my family, that is, right. So, downs, man. But the thing is, and I think I talked about this, before as well, the thought process when you're starting, and I'm sure you can identify with this. First of all, the imposter syndrome at the time was something that I was going through or that I had, just because, well, my background is not really in real estate. I'm an engineer. I've never really done capital raising or offer or up to take people's money or nothing like that. So it was a little bit challenging to trust myself and to understand, hey, listen, like if you don't trust yourself, obviously people are not going to trust you with your money. So that was a hurdle that I had to overcome. Understanding, hey, listen, you are successful in what you were doing before. You are, you know, obviously you have integrity, this and that. So why wouldn't people invest with you? You know, so having that mindset shift was very important. And then one of the biggest lessons at that time was many people said, because this was a very good deal. Many people said, well, if you have a good deal, the money will come. Like you build it, they will come. Well, they're not coming. I'm telling you, they're not coming. You can build whatever you want. People are not coming just because you built it. You have to understand that. And you have to make sure that you are, even before you have a deal, even before you have an opportunity, you have to start preparing yourself, building those relationships, you know, laying the groundwork for when the actual deals or the offering is going to come. And that was the biggest lesson in like, at least in the capital raising side of things.
Multifamily real estate is very much a relationship-based business. People want to work with people they know and trust. After listening to their podcast, Lennon met the operators in person before investing with them. He made sure to vet them, not only on paper, but he also wanted to make sure he'd work well with them.
That was through, if I'm not mistaken, through a podcast. I heard one of the principals in a podcast. And I heard, you know, I went to their website. I saw what they were doing, reach out to them on their website. And eventually I flew to San Francisco. One of the principals was in San Francisco at the time. I flew all the way there to meet him in person. I had already done my due diligence in terms of the, you know, the background checks and all that stuff. But and even to this day at our company, that's our main business model is to partner up with different operators. So we still have all the process, all the checklists that you go through, the on paper stuff, right? Like, you know, you need to understand the background, who's the team, what's the numbers that they've been achieving before, whatever, the whole thing. But that's the simple stuff, because you can find a list of things to look at on Google. But what people don't really talk about that much is, do you really like these guys, right? Because there's a ton of very qualified operators or sponsors out there that ultimately are going to be, they're going to have the team, they're going to have the track record on paper, all good. But do you want to be married to them for 5 years? I don't know, maybe. So we have one of our criteria, it's really on the personal side, right? Like building that relationship. Do I really like how you treat people? If, like how you treat, the, you know, like the server, if you go to a restaurant, how you treat your family, what your values are on a personal level. So, and that's always been important to me. So that's why I flew all the way out there, met with them, spent basically like 3 days at a conference with this guy, now we're obviously partners, friends, and that was it basically.
Lennon's specialty is raising capital. Some syndicators aim to find investors by attending events and chasing after their friends, family, and other members of their network that might be interested. However, syndicators like Lennon prefer to have investors come to them.
Well, the goal at the end of the day, it's to eventually have investors find you. Right? Build the funnels, build the platforms, do everything that you have to do so that eventually they come to you. It's less effort on the, you know, long term, a lot of effort short term. But I think what I think about, and this is something I learned working with this company that I initially invested with. It's first of all, don't be greedy, meaning you don't have to do everything on your own just so that you can make the most money, you know? And second of all, it's all about trust, right? Obviously, friends and family that know who you are, that have known you for years, et cetera, they already trust you. So obviously that's the first source of potential investors that you're gonna have. But then beyond that, how do you build trust with people that don't know you yet? Well, obviously, if you meet them in person, then that's the best way. That's always going to be, there's no replacement for that. So that's why I started a meetup, in-person meetup down here in Miami. We stopped doing it through COVID, and we haven't gotten back to that, but we'll get it back on online soon. But yeah, so it was very successful. We were not pitching anything, none of our projects or anything we put in front of any of the attendees to these events at all. We were just educating and learning ourselves and just, yeah, providing value to people that were interested to learn about what we do and about, you know, the intricacies of investing in multifamily and this and that. And through that, just naturally, after 6 months, after a year sometimes, we started getting investors and people that, okay, now I've seen you talk about this. I've seen you talk about that. Now, you know, you're an expert. We've talked for hours here, having a beer and whatever. So that's super valuable. But where I was going to with this is that trust can be built online, right? Like ultimately through this podcast, through YouTube videos, through articles. If there's someone that spends, I don't know, whatever the time, 6 months, reading your articles or watching your videos, whenever you jump on a call with them or you connect with them, the trust is already there, at least from their side. Like they already, in their mind, they already know you, because they do, right? Like they've been hearing you or reading you for a while now. So that's how we've been focused on bringing investors. And yeah, now of course, after once you start growing, it gets, you know, word of mouth. It's always the best, because ultimately it comes from reference that someone that already worked with you. But yeah, I guess that's the way we approach it.
An alignment of interest between a general partner and a limited partner simply means that the general partner has the same goals and commitment to achieving them as the limited partners do. For Lennon, having an alignment of interest between an operator and an investor is critical in an apartment syndication deal, for more reasons than one.
The first thing that we want to make sure is that we're on the same page about what we do as a company and what we're offering, and what the investor really wants, what's their goal. The passive investing and syndications, it's not for everyone, okay? The investor, and I talk about, you know, I talk for myself as a limited partner, you need to be very clear on what your goals are. For me and my family, time freedom, it's everything. So we value time more than we value maximizing returns. Meaning, we could have gone and bought our own multifamily and operated, and maybe we would be able to make, let's say on that first deal that we invested, maybe we would have made, that first deal is not a good example because this guy killed it. We had like 14%. Cash on cash on the first year. And like, well, anyway, crazy numbers. But typically, maybe if you do it all on your own and you have control of your thing and you don't, you know, trust anyone to do anything, yeah, you'll maximize profit, maybe a couple points above what investing with you guys would give them or with us. But then you're valuing more those extra 2% or 1% above your time. Spending time with your family, spending time doing other stuff that maybe you enjoy better, or just working on your actual job, which it's your actual source of capital. So that's that. So the first thing that we look at is, okay, are we in the same page about, okay, we're here to build trust. We're here to answer all your questions and understand exactly if we are on the same page about our investment model, about who we are, about who you are and who your goals are. And then at that point, really, it's just a conversation of, okay, now let's talk details about like actual criteria of the investments, right? Okay, what do you value most? Is it cash flow or is it appreciation? Is it capital preservation? Like, what's your risk tolerance? And all that conversation is very important to have, so that we are better positioned to offer something that is going to be valuable to these investors. Because if I offer you a development deal and what you're really looking for is cash flow, then obviously that doesn't make much sense. You're not cash flowing on a development deal, at least after until a couple of years, maybe more. So having that understanding of your investor base and those conversations, it's very important. And then at the end of the day, that's the technical thing. But again, like I mentioned at the beginning, the personal side of things, again, you're getting married to these guys. You're going to be answering questions from these guys, from these investors for a while. And you want to make sure that these guys are, you know, real people that share your actual values as well and your vision, you know, beyond the technicalities, I'd say.
Capital preservation is a conservative investment strategy with a goal of preventing loss. Capital preservation is a core part of Lennon's investment strategy. He caters to each of his investors' risk tolerance and connects them with investment opportunities that align with their investment goals.
The thought process is, okay, how do I mitigate the downside, right? Like, how do I put myself in a position where it's going to be very hard for me to lose money? Then if I structure myself in the right way to not lose money, then you start thinking, okay, how do I get this money to generate cash flow and work for me? And then if I can do both those things, then how do I actually maximize profits at the end of the day when the deal goes full cycle, right? So how do I force the appreciation and how do I force that growth of that capital? So capital preservation for us, the way we look at it is, let's say, first of all, where do we want to invest? Like, what's the vehicle that makes the most sense for capital preservation? Well, you have a spectrum, right? On one end, you have, I don't know, maybe Bitcoin, right? On the most risky investment that you have. And on the other hand, maybe you have treasury bonds, US treasury bonds, right? Like, that's, you know, that's basically zero risk investment. Got it? Well, yes, but then you have the risk, but then you also measure the returns, right? If I tell you that you have an investment that generates 100% returns in a month, and then I tell you there's another investment that generates only 1% a month, then I'm not really telling you anything, right? Because, well, yeah, okay, cool, but what's the risk on each one of those? So what you really want to look at is the risk return ratio, or the risk adjusted return, however you want to call it. Well, there's this thing called the Sharpe ratio, that it's an equation at the end of the day that measures the volatility of an investment and the returns of that investment. And it takes into account both things. So at the end of the day, the higher the Sharpe ratio, the better. Well, when I was doing my research, I saw that the best risk adjusted return, or the investment with the best Sharpe ratio, or one of the best anyway, at the very top, you have private ownership of commercial real estate. Okay. So I figured, well, commercial real estate, that's where we want to be. And private ownership, or direct ownership, meaning you're not investing in a REIT, public or private. This is direct ownership through real estate syndications. Well, cool. Now that we decided commercial real estate, that was okay. That we identified the vehicle. Now within that vehicle, what strategies can we implement to, you know, align ourselves with that capital preservation philosophy? Well, for us, it means three things, really. Cash flow. We're investing, ultimately, it's a business. There's income, there's expenses, there's a net operating income, and that's what you're, then you pay your debt, this and that, and ultimately you get the money that you make, your profit. So pretty straightforward at the end of the day. And we decided that it's going to be very hard to lose money if you are investing in a business that it's already stabilized, it's up and running, it's generating profits from day one. Might not be the best profits at day one, but that's also a good thing, because now you can go in and maximize that and add value to the property. But first of all, cash flow. Stabilized properties that are cash flowing from day one. Second, it's fine that it's cash flowing, but you need to have the right debt, okay? Most people talk about long-term debt. That, to me, it's not necessarily the long aspect of the debt that's important, but the longer than your business plan debt, right? If you have a plan to flip this property in a year, then maybe a 3-year debt makes sense. That's not long-term debt, but it's longer than what your plan is. So you give yourself a little bit of room and not put yourself in a position where if something happens, COVID or something else happens, you're not obligated to sell, right? Like you're not forced to sell at the wrong time. And then the other thing is we're going to go into these properties and into these deals. We're going to add value. As you obviously, you know a lot about this. You're going to add value. You're going to implement a business plan. So you need money to invest so that you can invest the money and, of course, get an ROI for that money, right? If you're going to put in $5,000 to renovate a unit, you want to get 20% returns for those $5,000. Well, you have to bump up the rents like $100 a month, or maybe a little bit less than that, but around that. So you have to have money to actually add value. Well, where is that money coming from? One of our strategies is we have to have that money from day one going into the deal, basically at the expense of the returns for the investor and for everyone really suffering. We are okay with that because we want to have all the capital to make that investment and add that value and not have to take the cash flow from the property and add the value or implement the business plan from the cash flow. Because what's going to happen at the end of the day, and this is what happened in 2008, many people, first of all, over-levered, like 90, 100% debt, short-term debt. They were taking the cash flow, and through the cash flow, they were adding the value, they were implementing the CapEx plan. And when everything went down and the crisis, what happened was that occupancy suffered, cash flow suffers. If you don't have the cash flow, you don't have the money to add the value. If you can renovate the units, you can add value. If you can't add value and at the same time you have the debt come due, then you find yourself in the worst position that you can that you can put yourself. And that's what we wanna avoid at the end of the day. So that's a super long answer to kind of understand our thought process about putting ourselves in a position that is going to be very, very hard to lose money. If you have cash flow, then something happens like COVID, the debt is not due for like, I don't know, let's say 5 years. Well, cash flow and property, you don't really care if the value of the property goes up and down. No one really cares. Property is really cash flowing. You navigate the crisis, come out on the other end unscathed, and then you can start adding value at that point, or just sell it whenever it makes sense, but you're not forced to sell at that wrong time.
Lennon's biggest obstacle throughout his real estate journey has been overcoming imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome can be defined as a collection of feelings of inadequacy that persist despite evident success. This is something that Lennon struggled with at the beginning of his career and has dealt with ever since.
I talked about the imposter syndrome. Typically, commercial real estate and you know, investing in a $100 million deals or $40 million, whatever the number is, like it's always been like, anyway, that was my impression. And it was like, okay, this is all for older guys, and they're always on, you know, suit and tie and like this corporate environment, this, you know, high rise buildings in New York. And that's, you know, that's what commercial real estate is. So it was challenging to basically understand or get to the point where I said, you know what, I'm gonna do me, you know, and really be comfortable in my own skin, talking to brokers, talking to lenders, and talking to, yeah, you know, these guys on Wall Street or wherever, or super high net worth individuals that might, you know, maybe in my mind anyway, they were expecting this, you know, if they're going to do an investment, they were expecting this guy on a suit and tie to show up, and that's just not who I am, you know. And obviously, being a younger guy, it was also a little bit of a challenge, a challenge that I put myself in. I think not necessarily because it actually was a big of a challenge, but it's just a mindset shift, right? So getting over that and understanding that, you know, this is who I am, and ultimately it's a trust game, and you need to come across as genuine and a suit and a tie or whatever is not going to give, is not going to make you more of a, you know, have you more, have more integrity or like anything, man. So that's, I would say that that was the biggest one for sure. And then the other one, it's just really the understanding. So self-awareness, I would say, so, you know, developing self-awareness on where do you want to position yourself? You know, if you're going to go as a passive investor, as an active investor, whatever you want to do in real estate or in life, really in general. But in real estate was, okay, I want to start doing these big deals. I need to raise capital, but there's the asset management. I need to source the deals. I need, there's a bunch of stuff that I need to do. So having the you know, being humble enough to understand this is where I'm good at, and this is something that I'm not that good at. So at the expense of not making as much money as possible, but still making a little bit of money, especially getting started, I figured, well, partnerships is the way I want to go about this. And ultimately, it's very rewarding because at the end of the day, you're building partnerships and you'll find good partners and bad partners. But at the end of the day, the good ones are always more. And you end up, you know, if you're lucky, with some few good friends along the lines. And you know, that's always been rewarding.
Lennon has reached a point in his life where, thanks to real estate, he has been able to lead a happy life by his own design. His business has grown and is still growing, and he's been able to help investors along the way.
To me, success is just being happy, period. I am happy right now, so I'm already there. So the journey, I still have many years to come, and I'm enjoying the journey. So I'm already successful. I'm happy. So I would say I'm 100% there if I look at it that way. That's the more philosophical answer, right? But the more, I guess, I mean, numbers wise, we're definitely getting started. I mean, there's a long way to go. We want to be able to help thousands of investors, obviously raise millions and millions of dollars, and you continue to provide value to this, you know, our tenants, to our investors, and help families achieve the dream that we have and the dream that they share with us. So yeah.
Lennon works with all kinds of investors, but he's focusing on increasing his reach to a particular group of people through informative and high value content.
Naturally, probably like 50%, if that actually, maybe a little bit less than that, are Hispanic investors that I've met here in Miami or from friends and family and all that. That's just obviously the natural thing, me being from Venezuela. But I've always thought, okay, that's going to be our thing, catering to the Hispanic market. And it is our goal. We are working right now on actually doing it in a way that's thoughtful, doing it in a way that's strategic. And, you know, like you mentioned, the avatar and having the pretty specific in terms of marketing and all of that, what we're doing at the company is with that in mind. I would say before, a few months ago, I had that idea. I actually said, yes, we cater to the Hispanic market, but we were not really doing it in a way that made much sense. So we were just talking to any investors. Again, we're still going to be open to everyone, but yes, our focus, it's definitely going to be on the Hispanic accredited investors and trying to provide value to them.
Moving forward, Lennon aims to continue to build his network of experienced operators and continue to grow his investor pool so he can provide even more people with great investment opportunities.
For the company, we want to build a network of the best operating partners. And I'm thinking that that network of operating partners is going to be around, I would say, 10-ish of the top sponsors out there and operators in the multifamily space. And we want to be raising the real goal is going to be, you know, for us to be raising $50-60 million a year. Right now we're very far from that, but that's kind of the goal. That number makes a lot of sense. in terms of, because that's kind of like one of the metrics, right? But then from that, it trickles down into understanding how many investors come from that, if you do the average. And that would, if we're raising that amount of money every year directly ourselves, that means that we're helping a lot of people achieve their dreams of financial freedom. So, which is, you know, one of the first things that we're looking at. But also, like I mentioned at the beginning, we think a lot about building a community, and we want to. So part of our mission is to build a community of passive investors, where obviously everyone chimes in and brings value and gives their opinion and shares their story and everything, so that at the end of the day, we can all become better passive investors.
Lennon isn't someone who lets fear hold him back. For anyone that is stuck, Lennon encourages them to get started and not overthink things.
Start yesterday. Just get it going. Obviously, you know, depends on where you are in life and everything. Like, I mean, that, I guess that goes without saying, but just what's the worst that can happen? You know, what's the worst that can happen? You lose $25,000, you lose $50,000. That might be your life saving, and you're at you know, you're 70 years old. Maybe that's not the best idea, but you know, in general, what's the worst that can happen? That would be the first thing. Just get it going, man. Just get started. Do your due diligence, educate yourself. But from then, just get it. And talking from my perspective, I'm an engineer and I'm super analytical, perfectionist, and my company and everything that I've done, I really believe has been hindered hindered just because sometimes I just don't deploy or something, or don't launch this strategy or that strategy just because it's not perfect yet. And just the overthinking, it gets you nowhere. So just get it going.
If anyone wants to learn more about Lennon and his company, here's how you can find out more.
Just through our website, passivorei.com. That's REI for real estate investing. So passivorei.com. There you will find a bunch of buttons that say invest with us. Just go there, create your account in the portal. That's, you know, it's non-binding. You're not committing yourself to anything. And then through there, you'll be able to set up a call with us if you want to talk to us. That's probably the best way to get in touch with us. And I'll also say, if you decide not to do that for whatever reason, you can always go directly to passivorei.com/dream. And there for free, you can input your email, and you'll get a copy of the four investing rules for the new American dream. That's the name of a short book that we wrote. And you'll get it for free. It talks about our investment philosophy, capital preservation, and a little bit of basically almost everything that we talked about on this podcast and some more.
Thank you for joining us today on the Real Estate Monopoly podcast. If you got value from this episode, please do us a favor and give us a good rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Make sure to visit our website at www.donisinvestmentgroup.com/monopoly, where you can subscribe to our newsletter so you'll never miss a show. If you want to avoid the top 5 mistakes passive investors make, you can also check out our free ebook by going to www.donisinvestmentgroup.com and downloading it. Be sure to tune in to our next episode. Until then, take care, guys.